Hello, and welcome back to NBS BiblioTalk, the Coinbook Lovers podcast. I am Leanna Spurrier, and I am your host, and we are sponsored by the Numismatic Bibliomania Society. They're an entire organization of Coinbook Lovers, so if you have not heard of them or are not a member, I highly encourage you to check them out. Their website is coinbooks.org, and if not for them, we would not be here. So go take a look at them. Otherwise, welcome. So if you are new to this podcast, each episode we have a different interviewee. So I am the one doing the interviewing, and I am coming from a background of coin collecting and not necessarily coin book collecting. So my goal is to kind of bridge the gap and make sure that our wonderfully knowledgeable guests are accessible to anyone who is listening in who may be new to the world of specifically coin books. So, this episode, we are going to talk to David Fanning, whose name is likely familiar to a lot of you from Colby and Fanning. And I think that is a sufficient introduction. He will introduce himself better here in a moment. And let's get to it. Alrighty, for this episode, we are here with David Fanning. So, David, I'm going to let you give your own background in the industry as well as what you currently do. I'm sure many of our listeners will be familiar with at least your last name from Colby and Fanning.
Right. Well, I am a numismatic bookseller in the Columbus, Ohio area. I deal in numismatic books of all times and places. We cover all languages, send books all over the world. We're an auction firm, so a lot of what I do is sell books via auction. I write the catalogs and such. I've been interested in numismatic literature since I was a high school student, I guess I'd say. Was introduced to numismatics when I was perhaps 12 or so. But by the time I was 15, I was becoming very interested specifically in the books, sparked partly by searching for a copy of Penny Whimsy, which happened to be out of print at the time. And that introduced me to the whole world of, out of print booksellers, secondary books, secondhand books, I mean. And just the entire book market as a thing. And I got right into it. I began selling books when I was 16, and I was working for a coin shop in Cincinnati at the time. And after an absence between college and grad school, I came back into the hobby in 99 and have been here since.
Alrighty, then the main thing that we're going to be talking about today is numismatic bibliographies. So could you give a quick overview of what a numismatic bibliography is?
Okay, well, so a bibliography is a book that lists other books. Imagine a list of works cited that you might see at the end of an article or something like that, only expanded radically so that it is book length itself. These are highly useful for people who are doing numismatic research. A book might cover everything that's been written about the coins of Spain, for instance, just to give an example. All of the publications about the coinage of ancient Thrace. There's a huge bibliography on nothing but that. They can be very, very specialized. Some of them are broader, but they are research tools, and they're very good research tools, because if you're going to really start to become interested in a particular area of collecting, you're going to want to know what's known, what has already been done, what's already been published, and a bibliography is your tool to allow you to do that.
Alrighty, sounds simple enough. Of course, the books had to come first before there could be a bibliography of them. So what is the history behind the kind of origin of the bibliographies and how they've evolved over time?
Right. So numismatic books themselves are usually traced to 1514 when what's considered the first numismatic book, Guillaume Boudet's De Asse et Partibus Eius, was published. But enough was published in mostly in the early 1500s, early to mid 1500s, that by 1579, we have what's considered the first numismatic bibliography published by a man named Antoine Lepoix. And his book, his bibliography is appended. It's just part of a larger work. And it's quite rare. And it's useful in some historical regard, but it's not really a fully fleshed out bibliography. For that, you have to wait until the 17th century, where we get a few different publications. Philippe Labbé, who was a well-known bibliographer, published in 1664 a larger volume called Bibliotheca Bibliothecarum, which, believe it or not, is a bibliography of bibliographies. And part of it was a numismatic bibliography. That was published in several editions. That's the first bibliography that I find myself citing, really, when I'm writing up an antiquarian book for sale at auction. Labbé's commentary is good. His arrangement makes sense. And he was, he was scholarly. Another good one from the 17th century is Burkhard Struve's 1693 Bibliotheca Numismatum Antiquorum. That is a little tougher to find. I was able to pick up a copy 8 or 10 years ago, but I've only seen, I think, one other copy since. That's a difficult one to find, but I like his commentary as well. Those are both in Latin, but you can usually work with it if you've got a little bit of background. In the 18th century, we get a few genuinely good bibliographies, and they sort of get almost increasingly useful. Anselmo Banduri's Bibliotheca Numeria first came out, I think, in 1719. Again, there were multiple editions of this. One thing that I should point out is that these weren't really for coin collectors per se. Coin collecting existed, but it wasn't popular. It was a fairly small number of generally wealthy people who were, participating in collecting, as we think of it. These were really mostly written for scholars. The coinage was seen as a way of studying history primarily. So when someone like Banduri or Labbé or Struve was writing a bibliography, they were thinking in terms of general scholars in the humanities and in the in the general humanistic tradition. Another good 18th century bibliography is the Bibliotheca Numismatica of Frank Bruckmann, which was published in 1729. That's a very tough book. I only acquired the copy in my own library in the past couple of years. But that's a very good one. Again, very scholarly, very serious, but good commentary, good content. That was followed by a couple of others in the 18th century, one by Johann Hirsch in 1760, one by Carl Benjamin Leibniz, that was published over a series of years in the 70s and 80s. But all of this sort of culminated and led toward what was considered for many, many years to be the bedrock numismatic bibliography, which was Eustace Lipsius's 1801 Bibliotheca Numeria. So that was published in 1801. It attempted to cover everything that had been printed on coins up to 1800, and did a pretty good job of it. It is not very verbal in the sense of it doesn't have a lot of commentary. It doesn't tell you much about the books. It simply, you know, lists them, gives their basic information. But it does allow you to figure out things like, you know, are there other editions of a given book? You know, sometimes it can shed a bit of light on authorship of books that were published anonymously. It has information on, you know, places of publication and that sort of thing. For until very, very recently, Lipsius was an absolutely necessary book. And that was only really finally surpassed last year, which I'll get to later. So that's sort of how the whole numismatic bibliographic field began.
So how has the content of those numismatic bibliographies changed over the years? Like, has there been more commentary as the years go on, or is that decreased, or has there been any trends like that as they've evolved?
Well, yes. There have been many, many more bibliographies published as time's gone on, and partly that is because coin collecting became far more popular. So the audience gradually shifts focus, and you can see this happen in the 19th century. The number of, you know, coin collectors in the mid-18th century compared to the number of coin collectors in the mid-19th century, you know, it would have been a far smaller number in the 18th century. It became a much more popular hobby. There became far more people in the 19th century who simply had a little bit of disposable income, which you needed to indulge in such a thing. So the 19th century saw a real proliferation of numismatic bibliographies that focus on a particular nation. That's the real big difference that you see there. And there are a lot of really good ones. Some of them are highly useful today. You've got Georges Cumont on Belgium. That's a real good one. Engel and Soror, their bibliography on France is, it might be the best 19th century numismatic bibliography there is. It's fantastic, really. I use it regularly, and it's well over 100 years old. There's a bibliography on Italian coins by Necchi, which is very good and substantial, but it lacks an index, which really kind of holds back its utility to the non-specialist. There's one on Poland, Polish coins by Reisard, that is very good, very interesting, but unfortunately is a very rare book, very difficult to find. There's a good bibliography on Spanish numismatics by Rada y Delgado. There is notably the first really good bibliography on American coin publications by Emmanuel Joseph Attinelli that was published in 1876. There's also, in addition to those national bibliographies, the 19th century also saw the publication of two separate editions of Johann Leitzmann's Bibliotheca Numeria, which acted as a supplement to Lipsius, attempting to bring it up to 1866 in the second edition. So you had that one as well.
So what makes one of these bibliographies good or worse than others?
Yeah, that's a good question. What we mostly see, like if I take a look at those 19th century ones that I mentioned, a lot of those, what makes them special is that they have commentary. If you look at Lipsius, for instance, which again is in Latin, as most books, scholarly books of that time were, you know, it's not very wordy. It doesn't tell you much about the books. It doesn't try to be judgmental in the sense of, you know, it doesn't try to recommend particular books more than others. It simply tells you what's out there. And that is what a pure bibliography does. What some of these 19th century works started to do was comment on the book. And sometimes that's going to be about the quality of the work. Sometimes that's going to be something about the author, something unusual about the publication process of the book. All of this is relevant and interesting to us these days. You know, so something like Engel and Soror, which I pointed out as being a particularly good 19th century bibliography, has wonderful commentary. Sometimes, I mean, sometimes they'll have a full paragraph in small type, following the description of a book, and can have, very interesting things to say. That's really useful to someone doing, research, whether on the coinage or on the books themselves. Even something that's not quite as discursive, like the Ryszard bibliography on Poland, I had the opportunity to use my copy of that a little while ago. And, he does not have as much commentary, but he does point out that, a given title is rare, which I might know that a book is rare now in 2021, but it's interesting to find out that it was, considered rare even in the 19th century. As far as American interest goes, Attinelli is wonderful for giving commentary. Some of his comments are pretty opinionated. Some of them are humorous. And frequently, he was so involved in the hobby that he knew things that if he hadn't recorded those facts in his book, we wouldn't know them at all today.
All right, very interesting. It sounds like there's quite a range of how much the authors were willing to comment on the pieces that they were recording.
Right. And, part of that had to do with audience, I think. You still had some bibliographies being compiled where the goal was to speak to other scholars. These were books that were probably hardly ever going to be used outside of a university setting. But then you started to have a real audience of coin collectors. And they might not be particularly scholarly, but they want to know what's out there on the subject of, whatever they happen to collect. So I think a big part of that is a question of audience. The collectors are going to be a lot more concerned with, okay, well, I don't have time to read, 100 different books on Roman imperial coins. So just tell me, what are the two or three that are really, really essential, and tell me why they're essential. And that's where that sort of more discursive bibliography, starts to become very, very useful.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So what are some of the most important works in numismatic bibliographies and some of their strengths and weaknesses?
Okay. Well, I think really to go through that, I'm going to focus mostly on more modern works, mostly 20th century, though, there have been already a handful of some wonderful publications published in the 21st century. So the big cornerstone publication that strikes me for the early 20th century is the first volume of Ernest Babylon's Traité. This is his Traité de Monnaie Grecque et Romaine. It is a multi-volume work on mostly Greek, but also Roman coins. The first volume comprises the best overview of the literature published on ancient coins that had been published to that date. That came out in that first volume of the Traité came out in 1901, and it is something that I use regularly. It has commentary. It's very densely written in the sense that it has an enormous amount of information within its pages. That's something that has been reprinted, and happily in 2004. An English translation was finally published, and that's a wonderful resource. But a number of other important bibliographies on ancient coins, antiquarian books on numismatics, and more general bibliographies were also published throughout the century. You have the American Numismatic Society in New York. They began publishing their library catalog in 1962. And the main work is in seven large folio volumes. And it was followed by three supplements in four volumes through 1978. And now, while this is just a catalog of their own library, it ends up serving as a bibliography because of the comprehensive nature of the ANS Library's holdings. The ANS Library is well over 100,000 titles. It's absolutely enormous, very comprehensive. And so this library catalog was for many, many years the most detailed work available. Does not have much in the way of commentary, though. This would be much more simply on listing what exactly exists on a given topic. For a more discursive bibliography, one that comments, in 1979, Philip Grierson published the second edition of his Bibliographie Numismatique, which is one of the most useful single-volume bibliographies on numismatics. That is a relatively small, maybe 300-page paperback. It's a lot more handy to use, a lot less expensive to buy. And his comments are often very useful. It's highly selective. He certainly is not trying to list every single little thing that's been published on a given topic, but he is trying to list what he thought were the most useful, most important books on a given topic. And like I said, his commentary is very useful. It's generally spot on. He was a brilliant scholar. And so that's one that I do tend to recommend to a lot of people. The most comprehensive numismatic bibliography, however, was published in 1984. That was by Elvira Eliza Klein Stefanelli, who was at the time the head of the National Coin Collection at the Smithsonian. Her book, which is simply called Numismatic Bibliography, has over 18,000 entries. It covers the entirety of coinage, all times and places, has sections devoted to numismatic writers, their obituaries and stuff she often lists, which is really useful. And despite the number of entries, it's not attempting to cover everything. It focuses mostly on 19th and 20th century publications. It only listed earlier ones if she really felt that they were still, kind of the most important work of its type. Her coverage, I mean, she was trying to write a bibliography that covered the entire world in all times. So the coverage is understandably a little uneven. She had her own focuses, her own areas of special interest, and her own areas of expertise. So, certain parts are better than others. But still, overall, it's by far the single best single volume work of its kind. And that's pretty available. It's not very expensive. It's not rare or anything of the sort. But there were a few other additional, more general or comprehensive bibliographies as well. Focusing on ancient coins, a coin dealer named Dennis Crow published a book in 1993 called Ancient Coin Reference Reviews. And I found that extremely helpful as a beginner in ancient coins. When I was first starting to learn about that area, he really tried to limit his discussion to the most useful books on ancient coins. He does include some auction catalogs, but it's mostly books. He gives a lot of discussion of the various syllogy volumes. It's very, very useful, especially for someone who is just kind of, still a bit of a beginner in that area. similarly to the ANS Library catalog, in 1997, the Fitzwilliam in England published a catalog of its extensive collection of numismatic auction catalogs. That was mostly formed through the zeal of the late Ted Buttrey. And that is really useful, especially for some of the European series of catalogs that really aren't thoroughly covered elsewhere. They have a wonderful collection of catalogs. So that's another one where, yeah, it's just a catalog for their own library, but their own library is important enough that it ends up functioning as a bibliography. But the most important, in a lot of ways, the most important 20th century numismatic bibliography that was taking a somewhat general approach was Christian de Kessel's, the first volume of his Bibliotheca Numeria that focuses on 16th century numismatic books. So this is the very first ones from 1514 Boudet through the end of the 16th century. This supplanted Lipsius and Leitzman for that area and listed over 1,100 titles from the 1500s. That is a magnificent bibliography. And he, as you know, as I can discuss, he published comprehensive bibliographies of the 17th and 18th century numismatic books as well. So those were like the more general 20th century works, the ones that tried to take on very large topics. The national bibliographies that we started to see in the 19th century did continue throughout the 20th century. And some of those are absolutely excellent. We've got Gromachevsky on Russian coins, Medina on Latin American colonial numismatics, Mayer on Islamic coins, Mateo Iopis on Spanish coins, Kuhl on Chinese coins, Gumowski on Poland. Morten Mortensen has published a number of different works on Danish coins, and Ferrari on Argentina is another really good one. So that general trend continued, these more and more focused, often national bibliographies. And some of those are pretty available because coin collecting had become much more popular. You had a much wider, you know, potential readership. But some of them are still really difficult to find. A couple of them in particular are rare. Gromachevsky's Russian bibliography, Bibliographicheski Ukazatel, is exceptionally rare. We've only ever offered one copy of that work since 1967. We've sold it twice. You know, its continued utility is, you know, perhaps indicated by the fact that my partner, George Colby, bought it for his own library the first time we handled it, and I bought it the second time when we sold George's library. It's one of my favorite numismatic bibliographies, partly because it is sort of, you know, a black tulip. It's just really rare. You never see originals. There is happily a reprint of it that's available. So that's a favorite. Another favorite rarity of mine is Jose Toribio Medina's Bibliographia Numismatica Colonial Hispanoamericana, which is absolutely one of the best bibliographies, numismatic bibliographies ever written. It's a really thorough examination of the literature supporting the study of Latin American coins of the colonial period. And the copy in my library originally belonged to Prince Louis of Battenberg, who was later Admiral Louis Alexander Mountbatten of the Royal Navy, the first Marquess of Milford Haven, who's a great scholar of naval medals. That was also a part of George Colby's library, which we sold a couple of years ago. Continuing with like the more national approach, in 1986, Harry Manville and Terence Robinson published their bibliography of British numismatic auction catalogs, which Manville solo, followed with five additional books covering various aspects of British numismatic books, articles, biographies, and terminology, with the last volume appearing in 2014. The real flowering that we see in the 20th century, though, is with American numismatic bibliography, and that's where that really took off. And I, you know, I suspect you may have more specific questions about that. The first half of the 20th century didn't see a whole lot of action. William Dilliston published an excellent bibliography on banknote reporters and counterfeit detectors in 1949. That was actually published by the American Numismatic Society. And that's a book that, even though it is a bit out of date at this point, I still use regularly and really enjoy. But the modern era for American numismatic bibliography really began in the 1980s. We saw, well, actually, I'll step back one decade. In the 1970s, Attinelli's 1876 Numismographics was reprinted. Now, the original of Attinelli is really rare and very expensive. So, you know, if you're looking for a copy of Attinelli, you know, you should be prepared to wait for a good long time, and you're probably going to spend $3,000 or more. So not many people had a copy of this. But in 1976, it was reprinted by Quarterman, became very available. And that was a lot of people's introductions to the early, especially the early American numismatic auction catalogs. And then John W. Adams published in 1982, his first volume of his United States Numismatic Literature. And he followed it with a second volume in 1990. And these are the absolute landmark classic works on the American auction catalogs. Volume 1 covers the 19th century. Volume 2 covers the 20th. They're fantastic books. They did a lot to get people interested in the topic. They have both commentary and descriptive content. He ranks them. The most important thing that Adams did in his bibliographies is he doesn't just say, okay, well, this, you know, catalog is more important than that catalog, or this is the most important on for this, that, or the other. He has every single catalog is ranked and graded in something like 26 different categories. So, you know, large sense would be a category, you know, this. So this sale is, you know, ranked a B minus for large sense. It has some, but it's not terribly important. But it's, you know, ranked A for early silver, say. So, you know, his books are very, very useful because they allow you to say, okay, I'm interested in colonial coins. What are the auction catalogs that are really important for colonial coins? And you can go through his book and just look out for anything that's ranked in A for colonials. It's really, really useful book. I use it constantly. My main copy is practically falling apart, despite being well bound, just because I use it so very much. And the 80s were a neat time to be collecting numismatic literature in the United States, because there was a lot was being published. The Numismatic Bibliomania Society had been founded in 1980, so its publication was being printed. Remy Bourne published 7 volumes total on fixed price lists from the 1850s to the 1950s. He also published a couple of volumes on periodicals and one on numismatic house organs and promotional publications. And his books they were issued on a limited basis, just, you know, 2 or 3 dozen copies. And in a lot of cases, although they are certainly not complete and, you know, sometimes don't have a lot of as much information in them as you might like, they're still the best things that we have on those topics. There really hasn't been anything done better on things like fixed price lists. So the 80s were an exciting time, and that kind of continued into the 90s. Charles Davis, who's a numismatic bookseller in Massachusetts, published a book, American Numismatic Literature, in 1992. That is just wonderful. Again, what he was trying to do was not only give you an idea of what was out there, but comment on it. And his comments are the best part, really. His commentary is, you know, not only tells you what's useful and what's not, but it also talks about these things as collectibles in and of themselves, you know. And so he discusses rarity, he discusses value, and a very, very useful and enjoyable book, which, you know, enjoyable isn't really a word that gets applied to an awful lot of numismatic bibliographies. You know, these are research tools. They're not necessarily fun reading. Charlie's book manages to be both, which is quite wonderful. There was also an important, huge checklist of numismatic auctions published by Martin Gengerke. Went through 8 different editions. It's called just called American Numismatic Auctions. The final printed edition, I think, was 1990. It was updated sporadically online or in other electronic forms through about 2009, I think. That is definitely also seen as a major collecting guide.
Okay, we touched on it right at the end there, but how mm-hmm. has the internet impacted these numismatic bibliographies? Do you see a lot of them migrating towards the internet, or are websites becoming included in them?
You see it with library catalogs. For instance, you know, I talked about the American Numismatic Society's library catalog. You know, the total publication is, I believe, 11 volumes. They're big volumes, more than a foot tall. And they were published in the 60s and the 70s. And if you talk to my partner, George Colby, he'll recall that, you know, they were absolutely essential at that time. He used his set constantly. And that's interesting because I have a set of them also. And frankly, you know, I like having them, but I almost never use them because library catalogs are now online and they're much more up to date. These printed books were printed in the 60s and 70s. Well, the ANS has added an awful lot to its library in the meantime. And they're very good at keeping their online library catalog up to date. So I use their online catalog all the time. So in that sense, things have migrated online. Gengerke was a good example of one that it kind of made sense for it to be online. He actually distributed it briefly in Excel format, which actually is fantastic. That's actually the version I use the most often because you can sort the different columns in different ways. So if I want to sort it chronologically, I can do that very easily. Whereas with the printed version or the PDF version that's available online, you can't do that. So I find that very, very useful. But generally speaking, most of the good bibliographies that have been published in the internet age are, you know, were published in book form, and that is the only form most of them exist in. You know, looking at the 21st century, you've got the Christian de Kessel. I had mentioned he had published a hugely important bibliography on 16th century books in, I think it was 1997. Well, he followed that in 2003 with a 3-volume work on 17th century books. And then he began publishing an exhaustive, huge, massive bibliography of 18th century books from, you know, between 2009 and 2020, just last year. The sixth volume finally came out last year, brought it to an end. It's almost 7,000 pages long total. And only then, 219 years later, did it finally surpass the Lipsius bibliography. So that's, that's a massive work, and it's only available in book form. But there are a lot of other specialized ones that have been published in the 21st century. Vsevolod Arefiev began publishing his Historische Numismatische Literatur Belästigungen in 2004 and published, I think, three supplements through 2012. And that's a fantastic bibliography of 18th century works on Russian numismatics. But again, not only is that only available in print, it's, he only printed a very, very small number of copies. But it's fantastic. It's absolutely wonderful. It's gold. But not very readily available, I admit. One exception that I would note, the Canadian Numismatic Bibliography that was published with Daryl Atchison as the editor in 2007. That was published in print, but it came with a DVD. Now, if you have a newer computer, you can no longer even use DVDs. So I'm hoping that, they will work around that a bit as they further distribute that title. That's a really good and useful bibliography, but I tend to use the printed version. There have been some other really good national bibliographies published in the 21st century. There's a good Swedish one by Hesse. There is an Italian one by Bernardino Mira, Bibliografia Numismatica Italiana, that is a big improvement on Necky because it has a really good index. That's sometimes all it takes. But it's very, very useful. But I would like to talk about two of my absolute favorite more recent bibliographies, which are John Spring's Ancient Coin Auction Catalogs, which was published in 2009, and the second edition of Bill Dane's Annotated Bibliography of Ancient Greek Numismatics, which was published in 2012. Those are, I think, wonderful examples of how these books can still be relevant today. If you take a look at John Spring's book on ancient coin auction catalogs, to my view, he manages to make it sort of the complete package. It is a bibliography. It is focused mostly on listing catalogs of ancient coins, auction catalogs of ancient coins that are illustrated. So he is focusing mostly from the 1880s on. But he gives a lot of information, not only on the catalogs, he has entire sections that are devoted to talking, just giving the capsule history of a given auction firm or of a coin dealer, sometimes of a prominent collector. It's wonderfully illustrated, which most bibliographies are not. It is a very enjoyable book to just sit around and read through. Enjoyable not being necessarily the first word that springs to mind when most people think of bibliographies, but John Spring's book is just a joy to read through. I really recommend it to anybody with the slightest bit of interest in ancient coins. Also in ancient coins is Bill Dane's Annotated Bibliography of Ancient Greek Numismatics. This is one of the best examples I can think of the value of commentary in a bibliography. Bill had published a first edition. I don't remember off the top of my head when. It may have even been in the 90s. It could have been in the early 2000s. His first edition only dealt with works on Greek coins that were written in English, which really reduced its scope because an awful lot of books on ancient coins are written in other languages. And his commentary was, you know, in the first edition, but it wasn't quite as developed. The second edition, he really broadened it. He tried to include as much as he possibly could in all sorts of languages. And his comments are just fantastically useful. Sometimes you get a title doesn't necessarily tell you quite enough about what's going to be in an article or a book. Dane's commentary discusses these things in great detail. It is a hugely useful bibliography. I think it's one of the very best modern numismatic bibliographies with really just highly useful commentary. I like it a lot, as is probably obvious.
Alrighty, and so we've talked a lot about like how useful different ones are. Can you talk a little bit about what those uses are? Like, what is the purpose with which you're pulling out these books to use them?
Okay, a couple of different things. First and foremost, probably is simply education. Most of us who collect coins these days can't afford to collect, everything. We have to find a focus, find something that really intrigues us. And most of us want to learn about these things. But figuring out how do you learn about something? How do you learn about, Canadian tokens or something? When you find that there is a bibliography on the topic, I'll use the Canadian one as an example. So Canadian Numismatic Bibliography came out in 2007. So it's very, very up to date, relatively. It is good commentary. And, if you find yourself learning about a new field, you can go in there and just by reading around in it, you can get a very good sense of, okay, what are the core publications on this topic? What are specialized articles on very focused topics that I find interesting? What is out there for me to read and learn about? So that's one of the uses. Another use is research. So, if you're not a beginner, if you're, a specialist in a given area, if you're an expert in a given area, you want to write something on, the medieval Italian coins. You want to see, okay, what all is out there on Tuscany, for instance. Well, I would say, some of your first things to do would be look in Clain Stefanelli, look in Grierson, and also look in the Italian bibliographies to get a sense of what's been written on the topic, what's out there. And then pay attention also to the smaller bibliographies that are usually part of any good coin book. If you're going to end up writing, something, writing an article, even much less writing a book, you're going to want to have a pretty good idea of what's already been written on that topic. And that's what a bibliography allows you to do. And then finally, if you are a book collector, as a lot of my customers are, a good bibliography can be a guide to your own collecting. Hopefully a bit more than just a checklist. Something a little bit more useful than that, but it can be a guide to collecting.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, I have two more questions. One of them might be fairly short. Are there any like areas that you have noticed where there is demand for a numismatic bibliography and there is not one, or there is not a good one to fill that gap?
That's a really good question. Let me think. I mean, I would absolutely, what I would love to see would be something like Bill Dane's wonderful annotated bibliography of ancient Greek numismatics. I'd love to see that done for Roman. There are, you know, bibliographies on the subject, but not quite taking the sort of approach that he did. That's something that I would very much like to see. There are some areas that just get a lot less attention. We could really use an up-to-date Islamic bibliography. The Mayer bibliography is wonderful, but the second edition was published in the 50s. So, you know, that's, you know, quite a while ago at this point. So yeah, you get certain areas where the best thing published was published quite a long time ago. The German coinage, which can get very complicated very quickly. There are a lot of specialized ones that you'll find, you know, ones that deal with, you know, Bavaria or, you know, some other, you know, city or province. But, you know, there's not a single good German numismatic bibliography. I'd love to see that. I'd like to see something better on European auction catalogs in general. You've got Spring on the ancient ones, and he's great on those, but, you know, he only does ones on ancient coins. So, yeah, there's plenty of work out there still to be done.
All right, listeners, there's an idea for some new projects.
There you go.
Okay, so last question, which is a variation on something that I ask everyone. If you were talking to a coin collector who has never owned or used a numismatic bibliography, we'll say they collect, you know, standard U.S. coins, okay. Since that's okay. The most common in our area. What singular numismatic bibliography would you recommend for them to kind of start off with and get their feet wet in the genre?
Again, that is a good question, and it actually does point a bit toward a little bit of a problem. I guess if I had to point them toward one book, it would be Charlie Davis's American Numismatic Literature. And Davis's book is wonderful. I think very highly of it. The only problem is that it was published in 1992. And so its information on pricing is obviously, you know, out of date. Most of his commentary, I imagine, would, you know, stand up very, very well against the past 30 years or so of scholarship. His commentary is very good, but there would be lots of books that would be added to it. But it is still, it's wonderful because it covers books, it covers periodicals, it covers auctions, it covers everything American. So I think that would get the nod if I were suggesting, you know, really one book. Everything else is either focused on auction catalogs, or, you know, is in some other way very, very focused. Charlie's book is, you know, the best, you know, sort of broad one, I think.
All righty. Then that will wrap up my questions. Is there anything else you would like to add or that we didn't get to cover?
Oh, I think I've probably spoken quite enough. I mean, as I've tried to get across, I mean, there is a lot more out there than you might think. It's a very rich field. And it's something that has demanded, you know, critical and scholarly attention for hundreds of years. So it is, it's a fascinating field.
For sure. I definitely learned a lot about it. I don't think we have talked too much on this podcast so far about numismatic bibliographies. So that was a whole new niche of the subject to get into.
Very good.
All righty. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Absolutely. Thank you for asking.
All righty. That will just about wrap us up. As always, wherever you are listening to this podcast, if you can rate, subscribe, review, etc., that is always helpful. We love to know that people are listening and enjoying. Or if you have any feedback, feel free to leave that as well. We'll always take feedback. Or if there are particular guests that you would like us to get, feel free to reach out with those, and we'd love to take it into consideration and see what we can do. In the meantime, As always, check out the NBS website. It's coinbooks.org. It's a wonderful organization that I've been a member of for a little while now. And we will be back in 2 months with the next episode, and hope to see some of you all at the World's Fair of Money coming up next month.